Are you ready for the Low Blows Network?
Welcome to another edition of the Untitled Unnamed. We really need a name for this podcast, don't we? Midcar Matt. I am here, Dom Tuck. I am also here with Connor Day, Devin West, and of course, Troy Mendes. How is everyone today?
Great.
Oh, it's Friday. It's not so good weather, but I'm good.
So today we're going to be doing, of course, Fight Factory Pro Wrestling Episode 5, Irish Underground Style. And we, of course, as usual, we've all watched the show back and we are good to go. So, So, of course, we talked about Episode 4 the last day, which really set everything in motion. So you had the new Irish Tag Team Champions, More Than Hype. You had the Grapple Games being set up. So you had as well, in the Rumble, you had Phil and Jay Money were the last two. And there's a bit of controversy there, which set up for another match. So that would be the main event of this show. So is everyone just good to go to get started?
Yeah, walk away.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's not really anything else for the background of this, I don't think. There was not really any issues, I don't think, with the setup or anything, I don't think, was there?
Not that I can think of, but this is the first time we had a dark match before the show, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, we need to talk about the dark matches.
No, not today.
I completely forgot about those dark matches. Okay.
I got you, bro.
So, for any of you that don't know, we have dark matches before the majority of our shows now. So, what this means is the roster members come out and they are like the crowd. So, we give the support to like people that might
it's
not
kinda like, it's kind of like the way they do it now. Yeah. It's kind of like without the crowds, like, and they get like the trainees in, except it's like the people on the show.
Yeah. So, like, for example, like, I would have been out in a crowd, like, LJ would have been out in a crowd, and then it would have been like people that like might not have wrestled like on a show yet, or like maybe they've wrestled like two or three shows or whatever and still like looking to break onto the shows. So yeah, the first dark match was Connor Day versus Ian Hellboy Holland. So what do you have to say about that match, Connor?
I don't necessarily have blocked out of my memory. As I've said, that there's a period of time, so if you go from like the Clara Battle Royal to when Midcar Mafia started, like, my wrestling career is, like, I don't count that. It doesn't exist. So, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it never happened.
Not till Episode 6, that's when you were reborn.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, so I honestly don't remember that match at all. I just remember what I felt during it, but, like, it is really... It was just a dark match, so, like, there's not really much else to say. But, like, this was only when the dark matches were getting started, so we didn't really know what we were in for. So, then...
The fucking dog barking. Hang on a sec.
That much he left.
Yeah.
Oh, we just...
He hates that match he does so not, much. It's so funny.
He does not want to talk about that dark match.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame him, because my match wasn't that as good as that. Like, it was awful.
So as well, there was a second dark match as well. I actually forget who else was in it. It was you
me
go ahead.
And Jason Scott, or whatever you want to call himself then.
He's
sure.
Gone now.
Yeah, against Leah T and Shark by Adam Farrell.
Yeah. So yeah, Jason Scott was just a lad that trained for a while. He's gone now. Leah T as well.
Dog's Grant. The dog is Grant.
Thanks for that.
No problem.
But yeah, I remember.
We stopped talking about dark match, Connor. We've moved on to the tag.
Oh, great.
My dark match.
Yeah, I remember Adam Farrell got a huge pop, and when he came out, he didn't trip over the curtain, but he full on slapped Paul Tracy in the face. He was coming out, he was all hyped up, he was coming out, fucking giving people high fives. Paul Tracy was in the front row, proper accidentally slapped him right in the face. It was the funniest thing. I don't remember much else from this match though, to be honest, because it's not recorded or anything like that. So
it was recorded, I think.
Well, I don't have it.
It was actually, yeah, it was.
Adam sent it to me. It is out there somewhere.
I have to find that somewhere. Such a confusing finish as well. It's unreal.
What was it?
just the way the finish was, it was unreal. Like,
this was still there.
Like, Adam wasn't the legal man. Yeah, that guy. Remember that guy? Yeah, he's gone. Adam wasn't a legal man, and then end up me pinning Adam anyway, even though he wasn't a legal man, and she's outside trying to check the referee. It was a mess.
It's a dark match, to be fair. Like,
it was
a
complete mess.
That's the kind of stuff that you kind of figure out in a dark match anyway. Like, because at least you know that now. I'm just going to get into the show then. Like, since then, we've had dark matches on pretty much nearly every show since then. And since then, there's been some absolute bangers. For example, Devon West versus Belladee is legit one of the best matches I have ever seen live. And that's not even an exaggeration.
It was one of the best matches. Like, oh.
Yeah. Like, unbelievable dark match.
Thank you.
As well, Unknown is the dark match king. He's been on nearly all of the shows with dark matches, and he's been so good in all of them. He's so over. But
he's like inked his entrance music, which like really makes it.
Yeah.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. I remember like when he first did that, because it was actually the next show, episode before episode 6, and I think I had just done my dark match, and I was like just through the curtain, and I think he was wrestling CBL.
Yeah.
And the music starts playing, and like I'm just behind the curtain now. I'm like, well, that's a weird choice of music.
Yeah.
And then as like the music hits, he like pushes through the curtain and the crowd go mental. And I was like, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, dark matches are a really cool thing in Fight Factory. They're something that we legitimately look forward to, like every show. Like, yeah. I
actually can't wait when shows are back. I can't wait for it.
I think the first dark match back is going to be absolutely unreal, because like, for us, it's going to be like our first live match, probably, like that we see live. Yeah. So it's going to be unreal. But yeah, so episode 5, the main show. So obviously I talked about how the wheels were set in motion for the grapple games, stuff like that. So Rick Nash comes out, he does a big promo. I pretty much skip to the end. But he does introduce Project Next Gen. And for those of you that don't know, Project Next Gen is like, what would you call it? Like, just for people breaking onto shows. Like, I know there's a better way to describe it. Yeah, for like people that haven't really been on shows yet, it's a weird concept, because now like Justin and Fabio, like they represent Project Next Gen, even though they've been on like a few shows. So it's a weird kind of concept now, but back then it was like just for people coming up and stuff. So obviously, he introduces the first match, having their debut. It's Flamboyant Fabio versus Justin Daniels. And they did have a small role in the Rumble, the last show. But basically, these are just two lads that were like, they were really impressing people at training. So it was just decided that they just have a singles showcase match, because like, they had the confidence in them to pull off a really good match. And I'm pretty sure they did. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, match. They did.
It's a really damn good match. Like,
unreal match for a match, it was unbelievable.
Really good opener for two kids starting out.
And they didn't do like, you know how in people's first match they just like, they either keep it really really simple or they do way too much, like they do loads and loads of moves and it gets sloppy and stuff. But this is like, they work like a wrist lock for ages at the start, and you'd never see that in like a debut match. It's really good. Like, the way Justin carries himself, the way Fabio carries himself, like, it's weird looking at that and thinking it's their first match, because you would not think it if you didn't know beforehand, like. And obviously, if you look at them now, like, obviously Fabio's Irish Junior Heavyweight Champion, and Justin's, like, on a whole another level now. He's TikTok famous, and he's, like...
Yeah, I was actually thinking about while watching it. It's, like, it's mental, like, what they've become. Especially with, like, Justin's, like, TikTok has really gotten... huge. Like, I think I said it a few weeks ago, but like, I was out with my friends just when like the restrictions were being eased, and they asked me like, do you know Justin Daniels? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, oh, we all follow him on TikTok. And I thought that was mental, because like, they have no interest in like wrestling or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, they know him through.
But yeah, like, he's a completely different wrestler back then, because like, obviously, he comes out, he's a heel. Fabio's, like, the big face. So, he's kind of the same, obviously, but Fabio's, like, improved tons since then. But, like, he's still kind of the same character. But Justin is, like, he's kind of like Kevin Owens sort of heel. Like, he's just a real trash talking, like, but he does like cool moves and stuff. And like I said, they work a wrist lock, which is very rare for like a debut match. Like, you wouldn't like, you wouldn't really see that at all in a debut match. And they have a really good match where, like, Fabio is really, really good for this. His finisher is the fresh cutter, which is a forward roll into like an RKO slash cutter or whatever. But what he's been so good at, even in this match, is he works to that cutter so well. Like, he goes for it in such creative ways. Like, it's so good. Like, his match with what was his name on episode 13? I can't remember his name. The American lad.
Oh, Ryan Kidd.
Ryan Kidd. Like, that match was deadly, but the way he worked up that fresh cutter is just so good. And like, that's just something he's been so good at from the start. Like, he, like, stuff like that he gets so well. But I think this match as well got a standing ovation from the crowd, and like,
yeah,
it was really well deserved.
Ovation had the first match, like, it was mad.
Yeah, like, some really impressive.
Yeah, they really did get the crowd going for the show.
Yeah,
they were full of confidence. They worked with each other really well, and they just had a great opener.
Yeah, perfect opener.
I remember Justin hit like some mad looking German. Like, he lifted him up first in like the air, and like, Fabio's legs were like hooked behind him. Then he hoisted him up and hit a German. It looked really good, and he went straight into his like, some really impressive moves. Like, even back then, Fabio gets the win, I think. Oh yeah, he absolutely mills him with the Santon.
Creams him with the Santon.
Yeah. But yeah, Fabio gets the win with the rolling cutter and big standing ovation. Like, I think it just blown away like everyone's expectations. Like, we knew how good they were, but like, we didn't think it'd be that good, I don't think. Like, I think just the expectations were like, not that they were low, but like, they weren't really, the crowd wasn't really expecting it to be that good. Like, especially because like, Rick Nash got on the mic and was like, these two lads are going to come out and they're going to have their first ever match. And also, they're 15 years old, which is mental. Or was Justin 14? I can't remember.
Justin was 14.
Justin was 14. 14. That is mental.
Yeah. I'm 10 years old and these guys, this is bullshit. Like,
but yeah, like, this is the perfect way to start off the next gen division. Like, they really set the standard going forward for like debut matches. I think this could be like the best debut match in Irish wrestling. Because I know,
probably.
Because I'm thinking about it, and I know Nathan and Darren, like, it would have been Nathan's debut, but they wrestled the Kings of the North, and that was a really good match. But if you think about this one, it was two debuts in the one. Because usually, like, for someone, they'll work with like a more experienced person. Like, for example, Nathan and Darren work with the Kings of the North, and like, that was a deadly debut. Like, it was on OTT and stuff. But this was just like two brand new lads just having an absolute banger, like, for their first match. So like, in my opinion, that's like the best debut in Irish wrestling, like recent Irish wrestling anyway, up there with like Jamie as well.
100%.
So yeah, Fabio with the win. A very, very good opener. Like, even now, it's just great to watch. So that's me for that match. If anyone else has any closing comments.
No, overall, solid match from like two guys who are making their debut. It was crazy watching it, like, and seeing the reaction they got from the crowd throughout the whole match. It was just incredible and felt great for the lads doing it.
Yeah, it's a fantastic match. One thing I actually forgot
about. Check that match out if you haven't. That's all I had to say. Sorry, go on.
I remember actually, this was free released, as well. This was released on Facebook, yeah. So if you search that up on Facebook, if you just search like Fight Factory Pro Wrestling, Justin Daniels or Flamboyant Fabio, I'm sure you can find it because it was definitely released for free. I don't think it's on YouTube, but it's definitely up there somewhere.
Yeah, it would be on Fight Factory's Facebook page, I believe.
It was in my memory the other day as well, so it's mad that we're talking about it.
Yeah. It only, like, yeah, that would have been around this time last year. Or sorry, not last year, 2 years ago. That's mad. I didn't write this down on my notes, but I just remember this now. So Justin comes out during his entrance, and he's being like a cool kind of heel. He doesn't really say anything during his entrance. So he's walking around the ring. Then he just sees Dave Cullen, who was back then he had his own podcast, which like it had like a bit of a following. It had like quite a good following. And Justin just goes up to him and is like, "Dave Cullen, I heard you have a podcast. No one cares." And everyone in the crowd just starts laughing. Like, that is it's so funny. Yeah,
I did a wrestling podcast.
Yeah, and look at us now, we have our own. But yeah, really, really good match. I like I said, definitely worth checking out. Like the thing about this show is like there's a lot of just really good matches that like you should definitely check out because like the standard was just really high. And like the next match we're going to talk about is another really good one that I think is quite underrated. And that's the Enterprise versus LJ and Michael May. So obviously the Enterprise, they're on a really good run at the moment. They had a really good match at Rock Shandy in the last show. And then obviously LJ and Michael, they're headed to Grapple Games. So like they're working as a team for now, but like, let's see how long that lasts. So Liam Royal comes out straight away. He has a Cleary Cartel t-shirt. And as soon as he goes through the curtain, he rips it. And like the crowd are like, oh, like really working that story really well. And, LJ and Michael are wearing Terry T t-shirts, which I thought was class. For any of you that don't know, Terry T was like the on-air like authority figure for PWU. He was really over up there as well. He had like those t-shirts that were only like a fiver or something like that, so like all the Fight Factory lads just bought them. But yeah, like I said, this is a really underrated match because like I think it was my, like I remember watching it and it was my favorite match of that night. But it doesn't really get talked about as much now. So yeah, I've written down here Luke Cullen has an absolute infinite gas tank, or had. Like, he's one lad that like back then he could just do like a running spot for hours on end and he would not get gassed. Like, he was so good. Like,
him and Dmitry Krakovich, I think, used to have like this mad spot they do in training where it's just loads of nip ups and like float overs and stuff. And like, he just never got gassed down. It was incredible.
Yeah. Like, it's just mad seeing his gas tank. Cause in this, it's like a big running spot and it ends with like Japanese arm drag into like another running spot. And like, he does not get gassed at all. He was so good. And obviously Liam Royal. But I said this on the last match on episode 4, but he's starting to look more and more like the staunch Magnum Liam Royal that we know him as today, because he's still like being funny Liam Royal, but he's kind of like he's doing all the power moves and stuff now, and like he's starting to look really, really strong. But yeah, it's actually funny that he's wrestling Michael in this, knowing now that they're a tag team. But
didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so LJ and Michael. I remember they did a promo the night before this where they were trying to get a new finisher, like just a double team finisher, and they're doing the double choke slam so they can be like Kane. And they actually do hit it at the end of this match and it got a big pop. Like, they were teasing it throughout the match. It gets a really big pop then. Yeah, just like I said, just a really underrated good tag team match. Michael May hits a really good hot tag. Like, it's not really that often you'd see Michael May do a hot tag, but he is really good. Great double team offense, including LJ and Mick. They hit like a double hip toss, where they hip toss Luke onto Liam in the corner, and like it looks really good. Stuff like that. There's actually a kind of LJ has like a nasty kind of fall where it's like an assisted dive, and it looks like he lands on his head, but he's actually grand. But like, I remember when I first seen it, I was like, oh, fuck, he's definitely hurt himself. But he got up straight away and he was grand.
Yeah. Hearing that thud, though, like, I was only, like, standing, like, a couple of feet away at the main door. All I hear was, like, oh, God, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's okay.
And it was a proper dive as well. Like, it was Michael assists him, and then he jumped onto the top rope, did, like, a swanton, and then he just kind of went straight down onto the floor. Nasty looking fall, but he was grand after, so don't even know if he felt it. There was a double choke slam, and then there was a bit of a miscommunication. Liam rolls up LJ, which was a huge win for the Enterprise at the time. I've written down here probably my favorite match of this show, but like I said, it's a really good show, so there's a lot of great matches on it, just a really good match. And then LJ and Michael, they build to that Grapple Games match, so they have a bit of a shove match at the end, and then they leave the ring. The Enterprise, they're kind of like going towards that number one contender spot. I think it's on the next show when they wrestle the Armstrongs. They actually become the number one contenders then. Oh, no. Actually, no, I can't even
remember. No, you're thinking of episode 7 where they did, seven? They did a triple, like, triple threat tag team match.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
No, I'm thinking of when they attacked Morton Hype on Grapple Games.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's besides the point anyway, because, so yeah, that's just a really good match. Like, definitely watch this one as well. Like, I'm going to be saying that a lot throughout this show. Yeah. Anyone else have anything to say?
I liked the part when, you know, Liam Royal, he was picking Luke up and using him to, like, splash opponents, yeah. Like, picking him up for a suplex, and that was a part where he tried to get Luke up, but LJ moved, and then LJ, I think, just drop kicks Liam, and it looks like Luke and lands pretty bad. I was thinking, oh, that must have been sore.
Yeah, I know which part you're thinking of. I remember thinking that as well.
Yeah, it just looked mental.
Yeah, anyone else?
Even in this match now, like, compared to Michael's match with Scotty, you can see the more charismatic side come out of Michael as well.
Yeah,
I think being with Lee kind of helped that, because Lee is just charismatic the whole time.
Yeah,
kind of dragged it out of more, which you can notice as he develops more. But it's just crazy comparing the two episodes.
Yeah, I think the thing with LJ and Michael is, like, they work together so much, and, like, obviously we know ourselves, like, they're really good mates in real life for, like, the last, like, 6-7 years or whatever. So, like, whenever they're put together, like, they have this chemistry. Like, even though they're not a tag team, like, when they do team up on this, like, rare occasion, like, they are, like, they flow together so well, and, like, the charisma just absolutely goes through the roof. Like, it's like Michael was gassed throughout this match as well. Like, even in his entrance when he has, like, the Terry T t-shirt, and then Lee or LJ comes out with the Terry T t-shirt, and they both kind of look at each other and point. It's just funny. Like, I was just saying this in, like, our group chat the other day, but I'm really surprised we haven't seen LJ versus Michael in a singles match on an episode show, because I think that would be unbelievable. Like, they've definitely had a few, like, on non-episode shows. Like, they wrestled in Breed, I think, and they had a really technical match, which is, I think it was free online. I don't know if it is anymore, but it's a really good match. Yeah, I'd love to see that match. Connor, anything to say about this?
No, I just really liked it, and I thought LJ died when he did the dive. That's all I have to add.
Yep, no problem. So next match, it is Paul Tracy versus B. Kill. And so Paul Tracy, he hadn't been on Fight Factory for a good few years at this point. So this was kind of like a big return match, and, like, obviously then this would be, like, his last appearance in Fight Factory for a while. So, like, maybe we'll have another big return match from Paul Tracy down the line. But for now, this is, like, his only appearance on episode shows. So he gets a good response when he comes out. And then obviously then he wrestles B. Kill, who he just lost to Sammy D. So this is, like, a match where he can kind of, like, regain his momentum going forward. I've written down here, in this match, everything Paul Tracy does is just gas. Like, it's the way he moves, the way, just everything he says, like, it's just, like, it's proper, like, .ie wrestling it is. Like, this match is a real, like, kind of .ie match. Like, it's a bit on the long side, but it's still a good match. And it's just, everything is just so funny. Like, I think there was a point where B-Kill, like, smashes Paul Tracy's head, like, off the apron on the outside, and he does, like, the weirdest sell on it. Like, it's so funny.
I mean, I wish while he was doing his entrance, I think it's the way he moves and, like, what he's wearing, but Paul Tracy reminds me of Al Gore in South Park. he's trying to prove that Man Bear Pig is real. Like, he has the cape on.
Has anyone seen Man Bear Pig? The Lord demands that you bring Man Bear Pig to me. And bring him back to the manor.
I love your Paul Tracy impression.
yeah, I just have written down here, Paul Tracy is, like, the perfect .ie, like, kid show wrestler. Just he's so over the top. It's so funny. In hindsight, it is an odd match to have on this card, but it is a good match. Like, it is a bit long, but like I said, it's a funny, it's just really good middle of the card match. It's still mad that this happened like on an episode show. But yeah, that's all I have really to say about this one.
Yes, just solid matchup.
Mm.
There was a spot where I think Paul Tracy pulled B Cool's hair, and then I think B Cool reverses something, and Paul Tracy's like, "Oh, he pulled my hair," and Paul Tracy's bald. I thought that was funny.
He does that the whole match. He's like, "Rafi pulled my hair. Did you not see?" Yeah, it's just really good match. Like I said, an odd match to have on an episode show, but you know, maybe down the line we'll see another Paul Tracy match in Fight Factory. Who knows?
Paul Tracy versus Dom Tuck 2 in Fight Factory. Though. The sequel of their iconic match.
The sequel of the iconic match that everyone else except people in this chat has forgotten about.
Hopefully it can last more than 2 to 3 minutes.
What?
Hopefully you can last more than 2 to 3 minutes if you're in the match with Paul Tracy again.
Okay, thanks for rubbing it in. Devin,
what was it? 1.5 minute? I can't remember. It was short. That's all I remember.
I think it was less than a minute.
I didn't actually
go short. It's fine.
I didn't actually keep track. Believe it or not.
Too busy having.
All right.
Well, Paul Tracy had to be quick because he was on his way to get Man Bear Pig. So.
Half man, half bear, half pig.
No, it's like a half bear, half man pig.
Oh.
Never thought I'd hear Paul Tracy getting compared to Man Bear Pig.
No, he's not going to hear
Man Bear Pig.
No, Paul Tracy's getting compared to Al Gore, who's trying to get Man Bear Pig.
Like, fuck you, or.
Okay.
Next match.
Let's move on, lads.
Next match, it is. Oh, now this one. Now this is probably one of the most like it's free on YouTube and like has loads of views at this stage and like it's a very very highly regarded.
I'll check how much views it has.
It's a highly regarded match in Fight Factory and it's Morden Hype's first title defense as Irish Tag Champions and they're against Rock Shandy who again they debuted together on the last show so this is like their second match as a team. So it's a big
has 62,000 views.
Yeah.
62,000.
Someone yeah. Comments on that video, man. Fuck me.
Ooh, let's go to the comments section.
Can you read out? Can you read out some?
Are there comments about Darren Carney? Yeah. Is that what I'm guessing? Because there usually is on YouTube.
The video is put up on the Low Blows channel. And, someone goes, "So where is the Low Blow?" And then someone replies to it, "I know, right? Disappointed too."
Jesus. YouTube is just dead.
YouTube comments are amazing. So yeah, before we talk about the match,
I'm not reading that one. That is wrong. No, I'm not reading that one out.
Is there any other ones you can read out?
Let's see.
I feel bad for Darren. He always gets all his comments.
Ah,
Darren.
Mainly Darren. Being handsome.
Well, I can't read any of these out. Some lad commented fake as hell on it.
Oh, wow. Shots fired.
Shots fired.
You gotta stare.
No, I can't read half of these right now.
Okay, so we're just going to talk about the match, which is a really, really good match.
Yeah, it was unreal.
Unbelievable. I love watching Rock Shandy and Morden Hype.
They're just two teams.
Together are just...
They're two similar enough teams that like they just gel together so well. Like obviously they had that big 6-man on episode 12 and like we know like that's probably the match of the year from last year. Jesus, Troy. Noisla.
Sorry, I was drinking water.
Yeah, thanks. I have written down here actually this is a really funny moment before the match even started. So our ring announcer at the time, Shane O'Keefe, he absolutely downed a full bottle of Rock Shandy. And when I mean downed, like in about 3 seconds, a whole bottle is gone.
I actually wrote notes on that. I said them passing around the Rock Shandy, like, just made me feel like, well, it just made me feel weird inside because, like, all the COVID stuff, like, you couldn't do that. Like,
yeah, no.
I look at stuff like that so differently now, where, like, yeah. I look at, like, wrestling with crowds. I'm like, oh.
It's just weird looking back on this stuff because, like, it's all stuff, like, that we would have taken for granted, like, big time. Like, yeah. We wouldn't even put any thought into it. Like just the example you said there, like, obviously that'd be a completely, like, that's a no-go now. But, yeah, it's mad. So, where are we? Yeah. So, big high-stakes tag title match. Like I said, these gel together so well. There's very good opening sequences. Martin Steers actually does the MVP ball in, and he does it into a leg drop. And you can tell, like, half the crowd was just like, what the fuck? And the other half were just pissing themselves. It was gas. Klong, as always, has just a top-tier hot tag. Like,
best hot tag in the biz.
Yeah. Like,
he's just so explosive. His kicks are unreal.
Yeah. And it,
like, he'd take the head off anyone.
So, like, he comes in hot. He does, like, his big bump, 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 but then he does the big kick combo and then, like, a German. Oh, it looks so good. But, like, it gets better every show. Like, we watched them. Like, obviously, his first episode show was episode 2, and, like, he had a good hot tag on that. But, like, episode 3, he had a better one. Episode 4, he had an even better one. And now, like, it's starting to really evolve. And I think
it just adds more and more on to it each time. It's great. It started me called Crash Down, but he just adds more and more on. It's just, oh, it's unreal.
Yeah, I think episode 9, he wrestled the Cruisers and Warden Hype in a triple threat tag match. And, like, I think that might be his best one as far as I remember. Because, like, I just remember he goes non-stop, does a big dive, gets back in, does something else. Like, oh, he's so good at the hot tag. It's unbelievable. Towards the end, it turns into, like, a proper OTT main event where, like, there's just huge moves, like, Nathan hits a big frog splash. There's black masses. There's all these moves. I think eventually there's, like, a double destroyer, and, like, there's a standing ovation when all four men are down. There's two standing ovations. So that there's that, and then obviously when the match is over, and then unfortunately as well, I can't remember what moment it was, but Klong actually dislocates his shoulder at some point in this match. Like, towards
when
the
he
end.
Does the
oh yeah, that's right.
He goes for the, like, another thing Tyler Bate does when he, like, springs off his head. It's like he sprang off the top row and then did a, like, an enziguri or, like, a spinning kick, and he landed awkwardly on his shoulder. I think that's where he dislocated it.
Forgot all about that.
Because that's right at the end, and then they go to give him, like, the Angel's Wings super kick combo, and then, like, you can actually hear him screaming in pain, and I felt so bad the first time I watched that because, like, you can tell how much pain he's in. And it's rotten, but, like, he still finishes the match, and, like, he has a damn good match with the lads. So, yeah, just, like, if you haven't seen this already, like, go out of your way to watch this. It's free on YouTube, so, like, that kind of says it itself. Like, it's such a good match, like, a proper high-stakes title match. And, like, I think this is Rock Shandy's, like, breakout match, in my opinion, because, like, obviously they had their match against the Enterprise episode 4, but this is when, like, people were starting to realize, like, oh shit, these two lads, they're unreal. Like, and then obviously they have, like, a big celebration at the end, like, more than hype. They hold Rock Shandy's hands up high, like, showing their respect or whatever. They give Rock Shandy the ring, and then Nightmare Edition run in and they beat the out of Rock Shandy. They beat the piss out of them, and then
where this is going.
Yeah, they're portrayed as, like, these two invaders. So, like, if you don't know, it's JDP and Tron. They're from, at the time, they were PWU tag champs, and they ran in. They were portrayed as, like, invaders. So, like, beat up Rock Shandy, and then Rick Nash sent, like, a few of the runners into the ring. So Connor Day and Ian Hellboy Holland run into the ring, and Hellboy eats a pile driver, and Connor eats a Rikishi driver.
Oof. God, that was horrible. Oh.
And then there's the stare down of a lifetime, because Devon West, on his own, he slides into the ring, and Do you ever see James Ellsworth when he has his fist out? It's like that.
Oh, wow.
Or the Miz is that. The Miz is
I was thinking Miz Dad more like it, but yeah, James Ellsworth, thanks, bro. Appreciate it.
Miz's dad is more of an appropriate like analogy. Goes. But he has his fist out and he's ready to fight Tron and JDP. Then Tron just like shrugs and gives him like a big boot to the face. And so, unfortunately, the Rock Austin stare down that was the Nightmare Edition and Devin West was cut short. But back to the match though. Fantastic match. Any other closing comments?
No, it was a great match. There's like a part where they do like the double destroyer. I thought that was unreal.
Yeah.
And then like Morton Hope like take it and like you think they're gonna do that real that thing where they like kind of no-sell it.
Yeah,
but they it's like they go to do that and then they kind of just collapse. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, the way Nathan goes down, because he's like screaming like as if he's gonna no-sell it, but then he just falls like face down, like face first into the mat, like very good. Troy, any feedback on this match that I can send on to the lads? Anything they can do better?
I thought it was fire. From the hot tag, the comebacks, double downs. Just some, you've said it already, but yeah, it's a really, really good match. I love watching Rock Shandy and more. It's unbelievable.
Yep. So
that's it.
So then we have our intermission. Then up next we have Team Harvey versus Team Keitel.
The never ending feud.
So I'm going to set the stage here, okay? So this is a lucky dip match it's a six-man. It's a lucky dip match, which means... So Katie Harvey comes out first. She's going to have her own team. Debbie Keitel comes out. She's also going to have her team. And they're going to pick a random number. And it could be anyone backstage that's going to be in the match. So in order of entrances, Owen Richards, the Nintendo, comes out. So like the Super Nintendos are no longer a thing now. It's just Owen Richards now. This is kind of like planting the seeds for like Retro Galactic as well. Then Rocky Starr comes out for Team Katie Harvey and they had their issues up in PWU. I think they had like a little feud up there as well. They had a match. Then John Bernard comes out for Team Keitel. And then, of course, I come out for Team Harvey and I eliminated Katie Harvey in the last show from the Rumble. So we have a little bit of an issue, let's just say. And of course, again, my music got changed. But
what was it this time?
You know the SpongeBob movie. You know the Goofy Goober song.
I'm a Goofy Goober.
But see, this time I kind of expected it. So when I heard it, I actually just kind of laughed to myself. But like I remember episode 4, I was snapping.
They changed in Cabra as well, didn't they?
No, I think they tried to, and then I just said, here, look, can you just change it back? And they're like, yeah.
Just leave it, lads. Come on, leave it. Scrap.
This is a six-man tag match that ends up being legitimately about half an hour. And I'm not really in the match that much. I'm, like, just on the apron most of the time. I'm just kind of, like, trash.
Not in the match much, but I do remember you a lot from when I've seen it.
Oh, words of praise there. But yeah, this match is so long that, true story, Darren Carney, who also lives in East Wall, he went home after his match. So like, he had his match, there was an intermission, then there was this match. So he went home and like, he wasn't really badly injured, but he had a few knocks and stuff. So he went home, like he had a bit of a nap just to like kind of rest his head and stuff. He woke up, came back to the venue. This match was still going on. It is legitimately half an hour long if you look at the video. I think it's more than half an hour even. But yeah.
Jesus.
I kind of just...
And what was this supposed...
Oh, yeah. I kind of just...
It supposed to be shorter?
I'm going to kill you, Troy. no, I just think the way it was planned, like, we didn't, like... We just didn't really take everything into account. Like, for example, the entrances, like, the Lucky Dip thing, that took really a long time. Like,
I skipped that.
Yeah, but yeah, I kind of just I just do like shtick where like I do a blind tag in, then get out. I don't do like much actual wrestling in this, but like I did really enjoy at the time just like acting the bollocks on the apron and stuff. But like I hate watching it back because it's so long. I'm not gonna say much else other than John Bernard makes.
Actually enjoyed the match, believe it or not.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Didn't feel like if it, like it was. I had on my TV and like I was just chilling watching it.
Yeah.
Got a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Why do I feel like that sarcasm?
It's not sarcasm. I have like, it's not that like the match is grand, but it gave me loads of like notes, and none of it's actually to the. Actually, there is one thing to it. The match I have a. Ben Gavin made a really good joke on commentary because Graham Doyle called you a cheeseburger. And he goes, and he says, Dom Tuck's, no, I don't know if it was you. I think it might have been you because he's not a cheeseburger. He's at least a Royale with cheese, which I thought was a good reference.
Cool picture.
Yeah. And Rocky Starr hits the like swinging DDT that it's like the Sister Abigail with the.
Yeah.
And that reminds me when Adam Farrell did it in training. And he'd been doing it for a while just in training matches. And I think this episode where he was like probably going to get on one or two shows in the future. So he was like, you know, come up with his moveset, whatever. And then Rocky Starr got booked in Fight Factory and did that. So he was like shitting himself. Like, fuck, I need to get a new move.
And, he did.
Yeah, I think he did. Now he does the Sharknado.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is actually John Bernard's debut as well. Like he did do the Rumble before, but this is his like proper match debut, like with Justin and Fabio earlier. He does the potion spot, the iconic potion spot where he downs a potion and he fires up. There's big hot tag with Debbie, big hot tag, then I think Debbie wins.
Debbie gets the win, yeah.
Yeah. And then after the match, Katie hits me a gory bomb. Anyone else have anything to say on that? Like, Connor, do you have anything more to say on your notes?
I think that's all the notes I had, I think. It was very, like, you have to see a lot of moves you don't usually see people do. Like, Katie did a John Woo. Like, I've never seen her do a John Woo before. So
Dom's reaction to that was great.
Yeah,
like, the John Woo was like my move, and I know I wasn't on shows, but like it's like Shawn Michaels watching people do super kicks. It's just
that's like me watching Phil hitting at fucking End of Days.
Devin West.
No. That's like Phil watching you do the Triller Driller. Like he's been doing that long before you, pal.
I know.
Like you asked him for permission and he granted you that permission. So like be grateful.
I am grateful.
To be fair, I was not on shows at the time. And like I wasn't doing the John Woo at the time, and obviously it's like I'll let Katie away with this one, but like
did you pull her aside at the show?
If I saw if someone does a John Woo like I don't know, first show back, like I'm gonna have to like stick
Finn Balor
and like yeah, like Balor robs all my moves.
Yeah, okay.
Just back when this match happened, I was like started to get on to shows, and I just saw, I used to, in training, I always used the jackhammer, and I thought that's my training move. But then I saw Owen Richards hit a jackhammer in this snapping match. I was like, stop. Thinking back, I'm like, nah, it was cool, but... Back then, I was like, that's my training match move.
My training match move. this was... So, obviously, this is Troy Mendes' first Fight Factory show, because, like, he trained at MSW originally. So, like, what was it like being at a Fight Factory show?
Oh, it was enjoyable. I wasn't expecting it to go... Just from the start... The first match, I was really impressed. And then throughout, when the show finished, I just was really impressed with everyone. Because I was only training with you lads about 2 months.
Yeah.
So I would have seen more than hype, you and pretty much all the Fight Factory lads that are on OTT. I would have seen yous wrestle, but I wouldn't have seen
the likes of Justin or Fabio or even like J Money or Richie wrestle, really.
Yeah.
So I was really impressed with everybody.
Was your first like training in Fight Factory the day we did a tournament in training?
That it would have been like the week before that. It was shortly after those.
We had the first match in that tournament.
Do we have a match, Troy?
I do remember that. Training match. Yeah, we did.
I feel like we match.
Did. So the tournament was like me and Troy wrestled, and my manager, which is Jay Steins, and I was heel, and I lost that match to Troy, and Troy advanced in the tournament
with a jackhammer.
I think you wrestled. I think you wrestled Dom.
Yeah, like I think I beat Troy then. Yeah,
I think we got me and Jay, you know, the evil doers, got involved in that match.
Yeah,
and, you did. But in the other type of the in the other side of the tournament, Adam Farrell was like beating everybody.
Yeah, he was the big baby face.
The final was Adam versus Dom, and me and Jay ran in, cost Dom the match, and setting up Shark Baby era, which was our training faction.
There was a good few training factions back then when we had like training matches every Sunday. There was also a team called the Bad Boys. That was like me, Justin, Dylan Locke, someone else, I think. A few factions. But like training matches, like they're so fun. Like, would love to do more of them soon. But yeah, that's not part of episode 5. So we're going to get back to episode 5. So yeah, this is Troy's like first show, like watching a Fight Factory show. But like, this was right before Midcard Mafia formed. So like, I was doing a thing with Katie, Devin West and Connor, like they both did dark matches. So like, they were pretty much right before breaking out onto shows. And then obviously the next show, Midcard Mafia formed, which we'll talk about in detail on the next show. But like, it is cool to like look back on this and like realize how close we are to actually like forming as a team. But yeah. So that's the six man, the Lucky Dip match. So next is an intergender match. It is Justy versus Valkyrie. And obviously, Valkyrie was getting set up to wrestle in the Grapple Games match, which was a huge deal for her at the time. Like, when she got announced episode 4, there was a huge reaction. So, like, she needed, like, a really good showcase match here. And obviously, Justy was a really good opponent for her then. Justy, on the mic, he comes out, he gets on the mic, and the mic has really bad feedback on the mic, and Justy, with the best line ever, just goes, "Oh, it's nice to get good feedback." Like,
such a cringy line, but such so good timing wise, it was great.
When it comes to timing and like stuff like that on the mic, like just witty comments, like I don't think there's anyone better than him.
No, not at all.
So he gets on the mic as well. He's saying he's not going to cheat to win this match, so he's going to. He's not going to use the fish hook, so he's so good and he's so confident he's going to win this match that he's going to win this match with a clothesline. And then obviously Valkyrie comes out, they have a match, Valkyrie kind of jump starter, then Justy gets beats Valkyrie up a little bit. I have written down here, Justy is so entertaining to watch get beat up. Like, just watching him get bashed on like by anyone really is just, it's so good. I'd love to see more heel Justy when we're back. Like, he is a good face, but I think heel Justy is like peak Justy. Like,
he's unreal.
His comments are like so good when he's a heel. Like, just the way he goes on, like in the ring, it's so good. He's really entertaining to watch get bashed. But then like when he's on top, his comments are so funny. Like, someone in the crowd would say something, and like he'd in the split second, like he just say something really funny, like, and I'm just thinking, like, how did you come up with that, like, in the space of a second? Like, brilliant. I've written down here as well, this is a real showcase match for Valkyrie, because I think this might have been like one of her first intergender matches on Fight Factory. Like, I think she had like mixed tag matches and stuff, but I think this might have been like her first singles intergender match. Oh, hang on. Training just went up for the weekend.
Teamers out, lad.
Yeah. He's all gonna book it.
Yeah, I'm gonna book two to four first. Oh, it's not out yet. Okay. So sorry, yeah, that's just training for the weekend. We used
this. It is app. Out. Oh no, not 2-4. It's now.
It is now.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that.
There. Yeah, back to the actual match. Yeah, like the match itself, like just the at the heel is second best to no one. Like when he's on his game, he's on top of his game. Like, and the things he does in ring and the things he says as well, just it's amazing just to watch.
Yeah. Sunday's out as well. I'm sorry, this is really bad content. yeah, we use this app to like book training sessions and like they just go up. So yeah. So yeah, this is like Valkyrie's first intergender match on as a single, and it's just a really good showcase for her. She hits all her really cool moves. Yes, it's not like, you know how some intergender matches, like not so much anymore, but like I think back then more so, like they would have been more gimmicky. Like a lot of intergender matches back then would have been proper comedy, but this wasn't really comedy. It was like just a normal match with like Justy just being funny. Like there was no comedy spots or anything like that. It was just a really good showcase match for Valkyrie. Just a really good match. Like this is another underrated one that like I completely forgot about until I watched it back. Yeah, just a really good match. So, and then Justy as well.
Your mic was cutting off there.
Actually, it should be fine. It's recording from my computer anyway, so it should be fine. I'm going to book that.
All right.
Sorry, yeah. So, Justy crawling on the floor after the match is really funny as well, leading into the Fatal 4-Way. Yeah, that's a really good match. It's a solid short match as well. It's only like 8 to 10 minutes as well. So, yeah. Anyone else want to add anything?
No, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, just a solid matchup. Justy's just entertaining. And Valkyrie and Justy are opponents.
Remember watching it live and like when they did the top rope Hurricane Rana, I was like, oh fuck, this is mental.
Yeah. Remember that, actually.
Oh yeah. That was the finish, wasn't it? It was top rope, and ran it, and then into... Oh, no, Valkyrie did a standing moonsault then.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, sorry, I was trying to think. Devin, anything else to add?
No, like as I said, like top from the start to finish, like you see Valkyrie coming into herself more and more, and the confidence she had throughout the match was always there, as you can see, the way she was brought herself across and the way she was performing in the match as well. It was incredible to see. And again, Justy on his day cannot be topped by anyone in regards to character work and being a heel. He's just unreal.
Mm.
He really, really is.
Yeah, I agree. Hope he's listening to this because proper licking his hole at the moment.
See, once he kind of hears his name mentioned somehow, it's like, oh, my name. I have to watch this.
I know it isn't licking his hole because like he is like legitimately really good in this, and like
yeah,
he's just like I didn't even explain it. Like he's just the early shows especially, like you kind of like watch him back, you just really appreciate like some stuff that like maybe we didn't appreciate as much back then. We kind of like took it for granted, like just seeing him in these like singles matches and stuff. Like obviously he's doing the stuff with Owen Richards and Andy Steele now, but that's a more serious kind of side. So like we're seeing Justy like doing more of his wrestling now, which is really cool. But back then, like when we're watching this stuff from back then, we're watching like his real, like his off the cuff remarks, and like he's just being real funny and stuff. Like, and we kind of just forget how good he is at that. So yeah, all in all, really good. So the next match, it is, I have the notes back open. Alexander Dean versus Dmitry Krakovich versus Sammy D versus Maxer or Sean Guinness.
This match, man.
Oh. I forgot how good this match was. Fucking class. So I have notes written down here. So this is Maxer's return match to Fight Factory. So he just came back from Japan. So he wrestled him and Jordan, the big hangovers, wasn't it? Versus Keith Lee and Shane Strickland at Contenders. So that would have been his comeback match. And then this was like 2 weeks later. So yeah, that was a big deal. This is also a breakout match for Dmitry Krakovich. Like we knew that like as soon as this match got announced, like he's put in there with three veterans. Like he's obviously going to be able to like break out from this match. like judging by what we know about him. Also, it's Sammy's like pre-Grapple Games match as well. So like he's heading into the Grapple Games, so like he needs like a really good match to like get ready for that. Same with like Valkyrie and LJ and Michael. So like everyone that's in the Grapple Games has like a really, really good setup like going into it. Yeah. How good is Maxer? Like, judging from the start of this, like he does a running spot and like he goes on and on, but like he makes everything just look crisp and smooth, but it's also just so fast. It's like I hope we get to see more of him on OTT and stuff when it comes back, because like he is so good. Like surely he'd be a shoe-in for like wrestling for the world title on OTT and stuff.
Oh yeah, for because like when obviously all that stuff happened, and like there's a vacant championship, like you kind of wonder like who's gonna step up and take that spot. And I never actually really thought of Maxer, but he'd be perfect for that.
Yeah, I'd love to see Sammy as well in that kind of role.
Yeah.
We can talk about that another day though. Maxer gives Dimitri like a German suplex off the top rope onto Dean and Sammy, and it looks like it could have gone really wrong, but it does look really good. Great four-way spots. Like, you know how in four-ways, like, they usually follow, like, a specific formula where it's, like, two heels in the face, which is the case in this match, but they usually do where, like, the heels just team up and do the same.
It's usually, like, in four-ways and triple threats, it's usually, like, one person gets, like, fucked over the ropes or something, and then it's, like, two people in the ring. It's never really, like, everyone in the match doing spots.
Yeah.
Like, this match was very good for, like, having everybody involved.
Yeah, like there was the two heels were teaming up on Dimitri and Maxer, but like there wasn't like loads of shit cans and stuff like where they just get thrown out the whole time, and like there was like really good four way spots. Everyone got involved, like you said, and Dimitri, like I said, breakout match. He hit all of his impressive moves. Like he didn't really, not that he didn't have a platform to like show all these moves, but like he'd be doing all the stuff and training, but like he was in a rumble and I think he wrestled Michael, so obviously he's not going to like bust out everything against Michael. He's going to have like a good technical match with him, especially because it was in the opener. Then in the rumble, like he can't whack out everything, but now it's like proper time to like whack out his swantons, his spiral taps, like everything. So he goes
the swanton on Dean, and he like proper bounces off him, and like, oh, look class.
Yeah, that was liked by Kenny Omega. How mental is that?
Oh yeah, I remember
was
that.
Yeah, the swanton he did on Dean. He gifted it, and it got like tons of likes. So Kenny Omega liked it, and like obviously he just freaked out when he seen that, because like Kenny Omega just liked his gif. Like that is mental. But
I think at that time as well, that was when Omega was in the big matches with Okada. So he was like
pre AEW and stuff. So yeah,
he was like at that time Omega was like probably the best wrestler in the world. So
yeah. Yeah, so Kenny Omega liking the tweet, like that's a big deal. Like even now, like looking back, it's mad. And yeah, just Maxer as well. He did a thing where like, how do you even describe it? But like he gets thrown outside the ring and like he held on to either the bottom rope or the middle rope, and he kind of skinned the cat, but like it looked so good. It was like he did a cartwheel back into the ring. Like I can't explain it. Words can't do it justice, but like it's such a good, like athletic move. Like literally just like held onto the ropes and then cartwheeled kind of back in, like it's unreal. I think he did his top rope cartwheel as well, like you know where he's on the top rope. And he cartwheels to like evade. That looks so good. And then Sammy, obviously, then Dimitri, I think he hits a TKO and like his spiral tap on, I think it was Dean, and then Sammy comes in, rolls him up, gets the sneaky pin, which obviously is just perfect for Sammy going into Grapple Games, setting him up as that just shithead heel. So, like, yeah, man, this match, like, definitely 100% watch this one, because, like, I completely forgot about this. Like, not that I forgot about the actual match, but I forgot how good it was. I forgot, like, Obviously, I remember the Swanton and stuff, but everything in between, I just completely forgot about. Like, everything that went on between, from Maxer at the start with his just really fast running spots to Dimitri's offense to just everything in it. It's just so good. Highly recommend this one. It's really, really good. Anyone else?
Oh, I just remember watching it thinking this is so fast paced, but it just looks mental and unbelievable. Just even Dimitri, it's one of the best performances I've seen from Dimitri Krakovic. I just thought he was really good in this match.
Yeah. Him taking moves is unreal as well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I can't think of any examples of him taking the moves in this, but like, obviously, like, we know how good he is at taking bumps and stuff, but him and Andy Steele, I think when they take moves, like, it looks so good. Andy Steele in particular, like, the way he feeds into moves, it's perfect. But like, yeah, Dimitri's a lunatic. We've been training with him like a good few years now, and like, he just do like the maddest stuff. And like, he's the kind of person, like, everyone looks at like him doing a move and they try to do it and like, just fail. Like, it's impressive the stuff he can do. Yeah, so really good match. And then obviously then we have the main event next. So no one else, any comments on that four-way, Devin?
No, as you're saying, like, everything was just very crisp, very well paced, the whole match. It wasn't too long, it was a fair amount of time. So between the whole match from the start to the finish was well intertwined and everything they were doing. Fantastic match.
Mm. Connor?
No, I've not lost that.
No? So, yeah, I've said it so many times at this stage, but watch this match, because, like, this would have fit on an OTT card, like, the actual match itself. Like, it's just loads of insane moves, like, really fast pace, like, would not have been out of place on, like, an OTT show. Just fantastic. And then we have the main event, which is Phil Boyd, or Mr. Small Package Phil Boyd, versus Jay Money. And like I said earlier, this is setting up the Grapple Games match, because there was controversy where Phil threw Jay Money over the top rope and his feet actually did touch the floor, but the ref didn't pick it up.
Oh.
Yeah, those promos were gas. Yeah. So his feet actually did touch the floor. Phil, obviously, he was fuming, so he wanted... Or it was actually Jay Money that said he wanted this match. I think Ben Given pointed that out in commentary. So Jay Money suggests this match. And so it's Jay Money versus Phil Boyd to go into the Grapple Games. And obviously that is a fitting main event, because it's high stakes. And so, yeah, I have written here, it's a very kind of old school style main event that has just high stakes. And not that it's a slow build up, but like, it builds up and builds up. But yeah, so... It has like a fast start, and then it kind of, not that it slows down, but like, it's paced really well. Yeah. I love arrogant heel Mr. Small Package Phil Boyd. Like, even during his entrance is gas on this one, because he just comes out and he's like really over the top, like happy for some reason. It's gas. Crowd so behind Jay Money, like, it's mad. Like, everyone has the little the Jay Money signs. What was it?
The money section.
Yeah. They had the money section signs. Like, loads of them were in the crowd. Crowd so behind him. All of his chants, like, shake your money maker. Like, proper behind that. There's a really funny point as well where he does the shake your money maker chants. Then Phil does, Mr. Small Package. But he doesn't say it. He just does, like, the taunt. And the crowd just don't react, because he does it like really fast, and then like, his reaction to the crowd not reacting is absolutely brilliant. He's like, come on, I've been doing this 15 years. It's so good. Yeah, like I said, really solid build up in this match. It is quite long, but it's like I said, an old school main event. High stakes, really good. Phil, like, proper puts the beating on him, like, about halfway through the match. Like, at the start, like, Jay Money's making an absolute fool out of Phil. Like, he's throwing him out of the ring, like, twice. Then Phil gets the advantage, beats him up a little bit, and then there's a comeback at the end. He hits the payroll. Sorry, just assume. He hits the payroll, doesn't work. Then I think there's a ref bump, which leads to Phil absolutely bashing Jay Money with chairs.
And,
like, there's a few good close calls with, like, Phil putting on the cross face and stuff like that. then I think he finishes it with the payroll off the second rope, which, yeah, that looks really good. Yeah, that's all the notes I've written here, and I can't think of anything else to say, but yeah, Jay Money in the main event as well. That's his first main event of two, as far as I know. I don't think there's any more. Not in episode shows, anyway. But yeah, he main evented his first show, and like he didn't look out of place or anything. Like he was in there in good hands with Phil, because like Phil would be able to like, if anything went wrong, Phil would have been able to carry him. But yeah, like he didn't look out of place at all in this match. I don't think like his charisma is really something that like it's just been there from the start. Like it's something like people's charisma like on shows. Like it might take them a while to like for it to break out. Like I know. Not to, like, single you out or anything, Connor, but, like, for you, like, it was really hard to get you to make noise and stuff for, like, maybe about a year or two.
Like, yeah. Even myself. Like, if you watch our Midcard Mafia debut, which we'll get on to the next show, you'll see my transition when it comes to charisma.
Yeah. But my point being that, like, if you watch Jay Money from the Hanger show, like charisma is just second nature to him. Like he comes out and like he has no problem doing pretty much anything. Like his reactions are really good. Like everything is just spot on. Like he's just someone that like he fits that role perfectly. Yeah, that is all I have down here for the main event. So, Devin, any closing thoughts?
Yeah, like I can completely agree with you. Like the whole Jay Money being consistently charismatic through whatever match he's in. Like his interaction with the crowd, with his opponent across the ring, is really, really fun to watch. It's actually when he's on top of his game. And Phil, as much time as we said before, he's great. He's just really, really fucking good. In regards if he's playing face or heel, the interaction with the crowd, the way he wrestles, the way he can pace the match to his liking and make it look amazing. It's I can't say much more about it. He's just really, really good. The two of them worked really, really well.
Yeah. 100% agree. Connor?
Oh, it's class. Just, I don't know, just a really good match. He does it. I like when Jay Money does that thing where he like springboards over and into a code red. I thought that was good.
Jay Money hitting a code red on the field is like the most satisfying move. Yeah. it's just so good to look at. I remember he did it on the Rumble, but they went into it both times in such good ways that like, once he does hit it, you're like, oh, shit, like a proper pop.
Yeah.
Yeah, code red, when it's done right, it's such a satisfying move. When it's done wrong, it's awful.
Unknown
yeah. Unknown does a really good code red. I do remember in training, I won't name any names or anything, it would have been like a few years ago, but I remember seeing a code red go horribly wrong and like the person taking it just whacked his head. Oh, it was horrible. So yeah, Troy, any closing thoughts on this one?
I don't have too much to add, but I thought it was really good storytelling anyway.
Yeah,
really good setup to get Jay Money into the Grapple Games.
Yeah, proper set him up as like a main eventer, like to go into this match, because like previously like he was having matches with like obviously like Phil's a big deal, but like he hadn't really broken out at that point. I think it was the Rumble where like he won it and then people were starting to see him as like a main event player. Then obviously this match he was in the main event and like people did buy him as a main event player, and no pun intended. yes, 100% agree with all your points there. Like I said, old school main event, especially with like the ref bump at the end and then Phil's getting the chair and then Jay Money, like thwarts his attempt at using the chairs and then he hits the big payroll 1-2-3. Nice finish. Another underrated one, especially because like this is definitely one I just completely forgot about. Like this and the four-way I completely forgot about on this show. Two matches definitely worth watching. Like I think this show is just like all together, it's just a really good show. Like I remember everyone was buzzed after watching it. Like the response online was really good. Everyone that was on the show that didn't get hurt, because I know there was a few injuries on this show. But like everyone that like wrestled and was safe and stuff, didn't hurt themselves, were really happy with the show. Just a really good show altogether. And obviously then we keep that ball rolling going into Grapple Games, which like was probably Fight Factory's best show until the Gresham show. So yeah, That's Jay Money and Phil. Yeah, all together. Really good old school main event. Jay Money not looking out of place at all. Phil's just being Phil. So that sets up. Sammy comes in after and he does a sneak attack on Jay Money. And then obviously LJ, Michael, Valkyrie, and yeah, that's it. They come out and they do like a little thing at the end where like they beat up Sammy and then Jay Money hits the $1 billion booty and then they kind of have a bit of a stare down to tease the Grapple Games match. So I think that Grapple Games match, so obviously it was announced on episode 4, then build up on episode 5 as well. But I think that Grapple Games match was built so well. Like the hype behind the promos, everything, like there wasn't anyone that didn't feel out of place in it. Because, like, you know how in scramble matches there might be someone that is just, like, kind of thrown in there and they feel like they haven't really earned their place or whatever? Like, just random, like, scramble matches. But this wasn't, like, a random scramble match. This was built as, like, a big deal. Like, almost like an Elimination Chamber. It was, like, built up like that, if you get me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so the Grapple Games will be the next show. We'll go into detail on that. I'm actually looking forward to watch that one because it's one I haven't watched in a while.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be a really fun show to watch because, like, we have our debut at the start and, like, I'm sure we'll have a good amount to talk about that because there's like, a good story behind it. Just the Enterprise versus the Armstrongs in, like, a blindfold match and I can't wait to watch that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And then...
I remember enjoying it.
More than Hype have a really, really good match against Collar and Elbow as well. And... Rock Shandy have unsanctioned match against the Nightmare Edition. I'm looking forward to watching that. Is there any other matches on that I'm forgetting about, apart from the Grapple Games, of course?
Oh, Williams and Maxer.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that.
I completely forgot about that. So, yeah, that'll be fun. But as for episode 5, like, I'm sure all of you can agree, it's just a really solid show. Like, everyone... Like, I think everyone on the show looked good. Like, from the opening match, which is Justin and Fabio, to the main event, like, nearly everything went smoothly. Like, obviously, there was a few unfortunate injuries, but, like, I think Five Factory proper had picked up at this stage. Like, episode 4 and 5 really, like, it set it to the next level, I think. Like, all this Grapple Games build up and stuff, it really made for some really good material, really good matches and stuff. So, I think we're going to put a bow on it there. So obviously that means we have one more piece of business. So Connor Day, do you have a rant for us this week?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
You got 90 seconds.
So I'm going to get the timer now.
I think we probably should disclose before I talk that none of my opinions expressed are those of Low Blows or of the rest of Midcard Mafia and are solely mine.
Oh, God.
I have a common way of looking at the world. Well, actually, no, not the world. Like, particularly the U.S., like, elections and presidents, that there's only really two parties. And it's not like the Republicans or Democrats. It's like the pedos and the war criminals. You see, if you go through, like, most... Actually, I should use the word allegedly a good bit here. If you go through, like, U.S., like, history, usually from the end of World War II, like, I'd say... All of them, nearly about 90% of them, of the presidents, are like war criminals of some kind. And I think this year's election is like super exciting because you're getting like value for your vote because both of them are like allegedly pedos. And both of them are, I suppose, in a way, war criminals. Because like, you look at like Trump, and like I'm not going to go on a rant about him, man, because like, everyone goes on rants about him. But, like, friends with Epstein, allegations and whatever, and has loads of wars going on. So, yeah, I'd put him in both of those camps. He also, like, just bombed Iran for no reason. But if you're, like, talking about Biden, and, like, I feel bad for Biden because, like, he does not know what he's doing. He's, like, he's so, like, just disconnected from everything. But, yeah... War criminal.
I'll give you 20 more seconds. Go on.
Allegedly, like, I mean, there's pictures of him like groping kids online. I don't know how true they are. And voted for like every war. So yeah, war criminal. So if you take one thing from this week's rant, it's that everyone who wants to be president or is like president or whatever is probably either a war criminal or a pedophile, or in some cases both, allegedly.
All right, that's all the time we have now for the Connor Day rant of the week. Hopefully we can use this one, because it's really just sometimes it's dodgy territory. we'll see if this airs. Well,
doesn't matter. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Bomb me or something?
Sue us.
Pushing everything. You know this, bro.
Yeah.
But that's what I like about the Connor Day rants of the week. You know, he doesn't hold back. He tackles these sensitive topics.
I wanted to do an update, actually. It's the 17th of July, and Epstein's bird has not killed herself yet. So I suppose that's good news.
That's all right. A new weekly update with him, Jesus Christ.
Like Bill and Hillary just haven't got the...
Okay.
On that bombshell, I think we should wrap it up there, lads.
Yeah.
I heard rumors online they're going to like give her coronavirus or something like that. And then that's gonna kill her. But yeah.
I love how lighthearted it is when we talk about wrestling, but then when we talk about this, it's just like a whole different atmosphere.
Connor, stay away from Reddit, please. You're getting all these ideas and it's just making it worse.
Just because I'm mad over on Reddit, like.
Yeah, so I think that is where we're going to end it. Okay, so that was Fight Factory Pro Wrestling Episode 5, including a maybe controversial, maybe not controversial, Connor Day rant of the week.
And Connor's weekly updates on...
Yeah, Connor's weekly Epstein updates. yeah, so that's Episode 5. So next we'll be going on to Episode 6. But at this stage, we're recording this on the 17th, and... Episode 3 just came out today, and like we're getting some really good feedback, so we're really happy with that. We want to keep going with this,
and if you have any ideas on how to improve, just
I
don't know, tweet us or something. Like, I'll probably ignore you, but they'll reply to you.
Fair, but yeah, there's 13 episodes for us to work from. Then if we're like looking to do more, we'll have a look, and maybe like you can suggest us like shows or anything you'd like to see. But as for now, we're just going to keep going with the Fight Factory shows and then maybe do some watch-alongs and stuff like that. But so Episode 6 is our next one, and then like we'll be nearly halfway at this stage. We're on 13 now, so like that, yeah, it's mad how quick we're doing them. We're just doing them like every Friday at this stage. So like they get released on a Friday, but we're also doing one later that Friday, and we're like two ahead. So like obviously this is Episode 5, and then 3 came out earlier. So like I think we're on a good routine with it, like, so we want to keep doing it. And if you have any feedback or anything, let us know. You can tweet at Troy Mendes, just Troy Mendes.
Just me, all right. Yeah, tweet me and I'll screenshot it and send it to them, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, fair enough, you're getting spammed with tweets. Actually, that'd be new. My Twitter is usually empty. Don't even use it.
If you have any problem with anything I've ranted about today, you can tweet at
is this Twitter even still up?
No, blur that out, please.
I'm gonna end it.